lay hold of. Let's go there once again. Ephesians chapter 1 is where we left off as we make our journey of discovery of all that we have in Jesus. And I pray this morning would help us truly receive it and apply it and soak in it and walk in it. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read the first six verses, then we'll zero in on our focus verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We'll stop there. That'll be enough to soak in for the morning. More than enough. As we saw last week, just to remind you, in verse 3, we see that Paul gets right to it. Again, the desire is to begin by soaking them in us and all the riches we have in God's grace. So he begins a sentence there in verse 3 that in the original Greek goes from verse 3 all the way down to verse 14. And our translation is broken up. But in the original, it's one long verse declaring these riches, these spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus. Paul is trying to make sure that we know what the spiritual blessings are so we don't come short of any of them. And I pray that'd be the result for all of us, that we would know and live in these awesome riches. Last week we saw in verse 3 that in Jesus we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And that means that God has held nothing back. That which we need, the spiritual things we need, he has held nothing back. They are offered to every believer. This morning we're going to press on in our journey of discovery. Verse 4, just as he, God, chose us in him, that's Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We look at these verses and we see these truths set before us, truths such as chosen, he declares. Adoption, he says. Accepted. Why? How? To what end has God done all this? What's the purpose? The answer to those questions of how and why and what's going on here, well, the answer to those questions are going to help us see why Paul begins verse 3 by saying, blessed be the God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The answer to those are going to tell us why the Lord should be blessed and praised. I've called our time together this morning, chosen, adopted, accepted in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd find in us right now that good soil ready to receive the seed of your word, of your truth. And Lord, even though you've maybe used trials in this last week to break up the soil of our hearts, though you've done things to maybe get our attention, you provoke questions, so be it, Lord, if that's what it takes, that we might receive your answer. So Lord, minister, we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us, move amongst us, move within us. But Lord, don't let us come short of what you'd have. So Lord, again, my great concern is, Lord, we stop by just considering it. Lord, help us to heart soak in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, I want to take just a moment to deal with an issue that these verses bring up. The goal of my doing so is so we don't stay focused on them or get hung up on them. I just want to go over one particular issue that these verses do provoke with the idea that we can then go on to soak in what I believe we're to focus upon. Statements like, in verse 4, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And in verse 5, a statement like, having predestined us to adoption. No debate there. No discussions there. Obviously, I'm being facetious. Great discussions are provoked by those kind of statements. There's an ongoing debate amongst Bible commentators and theologians and others who like to get into this kind of thing. There's an ongoing debate here, and this passage kind of would provoke some of it. So for those who maybe are wondering about that, I'm going to address it for just a minute. For others, it wasn't on your radar. Great. Don't get caught up in the debates. But let me just share this about something. There is an ongoing debate between the whole idea of what's called predestination, or another word for that is election, versus the free will of man. In short, it revolves around this. Is our salvation a result of God's sovereign choosing of us, His sovereign will choosing who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved? That's called election. That's the viewpoint of predestination, those who hold to that view. On the other side, there are those who say, want to know, does man have a choice as to whether he will believe or not? So is our being saved totally of God's sovereign will? He picks who's saved, who's not. Versus those who say, no, man has some place in this. Man has a choice in this somewhere. Many a book has been written on this debate. A lot of books. A lot of sermons have been preached about this. This one won't be one of them, except for what I'm doing right now. But let me assure you of something. There are excellent arguments on both sides of the issue, debating both sides of it, God's sovereignty and predestination and election versus man's free will. Good arguments on both sides of it. Good men and women. Let me also assure you this. We're not going to solve it today. Let me also say this. I don't think it'll be solved this side of heaven. God has told us what He has and left it where it is. He's told us what we need to know. He told us what we can take in. And the man takes it and wrestles with it. But I just also want to assure you this and encourage you towards this. Don't let the debates of man rip you off of the blessings of God. Don't let the debates of man rip you off of the assurances we definitely have that these riches are ours. Don't let man's debate rip us off from if you've received Christ as Savior, however that came about, if you have received Him, you're heaven bound. And these riches are ours. That's why Paul's recording it. I don't want to make light of the debate, but I also think we don't need to get hung up in the debate. Which is it? Is it chosen or choice? I think it's both. Now to that, most people, I realize that's very intellectually unsatisfying. Because the desire within us to figure God out. We want to get God in a box. But let me put it this way. And I'm not the original one to say this. Many have. After studying it, I'm just passing it on. And basically it's this. The gate into heaven on our side says, whosoever will, come. But it also pointed out, when we get in, we're going to look back on the backside of the gate and it says, chosen from before the foundations of the world. Because both are taught, both are declared. We'll leave it up to God to work all that out. All we know is if you've received, you're saved. He's declared so, however that came about. And you know what? Our blessing is don't argue it, accept it, rejoice in it. And make sure we also understand that neither one of those changes what we have in the Lord and our need to declare those truths to a people that need to hear it. The point that Paul is trying to make in our passages are what? Well, we're going to see in a moment, but it's this basically. The focus for Paul here is this. We are chosen, we are accepted, we are adopted in Jesus. And he wants every believer to know that and live in it, experiencing the truth of it. Well, to keep us in line with our goal of making a list. Remember last week I encouraged you to begin to consider making a list of what is ours in Jesus. You remember I encouraged you to do that? Good, okay. In fact, I encourage some of you to start keeping a note, start bringing something to write on, because it's definitely worth. Almost all surveys and studies all show that you retain more when you write it down. And so I wasn't trying to make it a legalistic thing, but I do want to encourage you to consider writing it down. You can go back later and look at it, study it, think about how it fits in your life. Although I have decided to do one thing. I once had a college professor that as he taught, he would walk around the classroom. He actually did. He would walk around. He'd be lecturing. He'd come up and look at what you're writing. Write when you're writing. Keep. Now, you better believe we paid attention. He was a good teacher. I learned a lot from him, but he was hard. And he'd be lecturing. He'd come around. He'd be talking. He'd remember his subject, but he'd sit there and start reading. So you're writing down good notes, nice and legible. I won't do it. I'm tempting, but I won't do that. Because again, I'm not trying to make like, you know, I can see some of you guys next week. We're not going there. I'm not going to get embarrassed like that. That's not the goal. But don't stop at just, that was kind of interesting. And then by Wednesday, it's like, what did he say? Write it down so we can apply it and grow in it. That's the encouragement. Well, to help us move forward with our list, to help us gain the most from our verses, I think it's going to help if we just work our way through these verses and kind of outline them together. Verse 4. Just as he, God, chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So Paul now, after saying, hey, there's all these spiritual blessings that are ours, launches into this very awesome, awesome topic of the fact, this truth of the fact that we are chosen by God. You, if you're a believer, you've been chosen by God to be his. He chose you. Now think about that. What assurance it brings us to recognize he chose us, and he did this before the foundation of the world. I read many a commentary that says, I'm glad he chose me before the foundation of the world, because he probably wouldn't have chosen me after I existed. Well, yeah, he would have, because God knows everything. God knows the future already. God didn't choose you and then all of a sudden go, I didn't know you were going to do that. Forget it. You're unchosen. No. He knows us inside out. That's part of the blessing here. Before we ever existed, God chose us. He saw us and chose us to spend eternity with him. He wants a people to spend eternity with him. A forgiven group of people. A people who know his grace like the angels never can. He wants us, and we will be a testimony for eternity of his love and grace. Think about that. He wanted that, a people who would be his and will only be there through grace. God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our struggles with sin. He knows about our failures, but he still chose us. He knows our tomorrows, and he still chose us. How can he do that? Because, again, he doesn't choose on the basis of us earning it. It's rooted in his grace. Remember, this whole thing is about his grace. Now, what purpose, for what end is this choosing? What's it say? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy is a word that often throws people. And so let's remind ourselves again of what it means, what he's saying there. Holy is a word that means set apart. When it comes to us as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus, the word holy means God took us and set us apart for his purposes. Doesn't mean we've arrived. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Oh, look, I'm so holy. It means he set us apart. He took us out of what we were and put us into him. And we are set apart now. Now, think about that. Let that soak in. God wants this people who will spend an eternity with him. And so he chooses us and sets us apart for that purpose. Now, soak in that. Because remember, that's you. That's me. Chosen from before the foundations of the world. And remember that. Sometimes you can see this and think, oh, that's supposed to be my response. He saved me, now I'm going to show him what a good deal he got. He saved me, now I'll kind of work it out, I'll be all perfect. No, that's not talking about a response, it's talking about a position. In chapters 4 to 6, it'll be talking about our response and living this out in the power that he gives us and all. So we're talking about, yes, we should live righteous lives and all, but never to earn anything. That's not what it's about. What he's talking about here, this holiness and without blame part, this is speaking about a privilege. It's about our position in Jesus. If you're in Jesus, you have been set apart. And not only that, he declares, and without blame before him in love. Without blame? You got to be kidding. Remember, we will never live blameless lives. We will never reach sinless perfection in this lifetime. Then what's this talking about? It's talking about how he sees us in Christ. For in Christ, we've been accounted righteous. So what it's saying is, he chose us with the goal that we'd be set apart for him, we'd be his, for his purposes, and that we would be a subject of and a righteousness given to us. In that old vernacular, it used to be said, and it's kind of an old phrase, but it says, remember, when God looks at you, he sees you through Jesus-colored glasses. It filters out all that stuff. He knows it's there, but it's forgiven, it's cleansed. And so that's the goal here. It says in Jude that one day we will be presented spotless before the throne. But meanwhile, it's working out all this in our lives. So this is talking about our position, what we've been given in love. God's motivating factor, for he so loved the world that he set this up. How I pray we would hear this and soak in the love behind it all. That's why he's saying all this. That's why Paul's being led to record it, that we would know the close, personal, intimate fellowship that God wants to have with us. And that we wouldn't come short of that. And all that that brings into our lives. And he did this choosing of us before the foundation of the world. Again, just so often be reminded of that. Before God created the earth, you were on his mind. Think about that. Think what that means. Verse 5. He continues, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So the next point for our list here is that we have been predestined to adoption. Or in short, we've been adopted by God. Now, that word adoption kind of has different meanings to many of us in our culture and all. So let me clarify something here. In Strong's, it says this about adoption. The definition is the placing as a son. But Vine's New Testament dictionary says it better. The word translated adoption here, Vine says this, quote, God does not adopt believers as children. They are begotten as such by his Holy Spirit through faith. Adoption is a term involving the dignity of the relationship of believers as sons. It is not a putting into the family by spiritual birth, but a putting into the position of sons. End quote. What are they saying? They're saying this. We are not adopted into God's family to become his children. We come into God's family by birth. We are born again. You receive Christ as Savior, as he himself said, we are born again. You're born into becoming a child of God. Not naturally, not your physical birth, but the spiritual birth is one that occurs by faith. You receive Christ as Savior, we're born. Well, what does adoption mean here? That's what they're trying to explain. Adoption here is a term that means once we are in the family, he places us as joint heirs with Jesus. See, we're not born again to become slaves. That's what it's saying. It's not born again and now, okay, but you're at the bottom of the ladder here, buddy. Yeah, you're saved now, but you've got to live outside in the pig pen. No. You're born again, you're one of mine, and not just one of mine, but to be left outside or like a slave or something. No, you're one of mine, and now I place you as a son or daughter. It means mankind. You're placed as an heir, a joint heir to the inheritance. What Jesus is ours is the idea. It's a statement of placement in that. But what an awesome statement it is. Joint heirs. Adopted means given. I'm given that place of an inheritance, a joint heir with Jesus. All that's His is ours. And that's good stuff. And notice in verse 5 here, the word according. According to, meaning based on or because of. According to. How has this occurred? This choosing, this adopting me, this placing me as a joint heir with Christ, this placing me as a son in that role of a son. How? Why? According to the good pleasure of His will. Because God just wanted to. Didn't earn it, don't deserve it, can't earn it. He just wanted to. It's according to the good pleasure of His will. Yes, He knows us. He knows everything. But He just wanted to do this. Oh, that we would soak in the purposes of God and understand how He works. He just did. It's to the good pleasure. This is His plan unfolding. And what an assurance there is in that. And the goal, verse 6, that it would all be to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. I'm going to go with the second part of that verse first, then back to the first part. But the second part where there declares by which. What it's pointing to there is, again, grace. It's to the praise of the glory of His grace by which. So it's meaning grace is the cause. It's the motivation behind all this. By which, by grace, He made us accepted in the Beloved. That one sure better go on our list. We are accepted in the Beloved. Capital B, Jesus. That's what it's talking about. We're accepted in Jesus. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. I remember when I first was being exposed to the gospel, the guy was sharing with me, good Christian brother, but he was sharing with me the good. And I didn't know a lot of this. I wasn't raised in it, and I'm struggling with it. But I do know it provoked to me a couple of questions, those basic questions of, what does God want? Okay, if God's there, what does He want from me? And it still made them misunderstand that somehow you're going to earn or deserve something. But I had to come to understand that. We aren't acceptable to God. And we can't be acceptable to God. Here's a newsflash. We will never be acceptable to God on our own. You're never going to do it. We will never be acceptable to God. And if you're a Christian right now and you have fallen into the habit of somehow trying to become acceptable, bail. Fall back on grace. Fall back on grace. And then grace will do what trying to be acceptable never could do. But now listen to that. We will never be acceptable, but He declares we are accepted in Jesus. Oh, the importance of those words. In Jesus, that He who could not be acceptable, could never be acceptable, is declared accepted because of Jesus. Because of that atoning work of the cross and all applied to our lives. What an awesome thing. God sees us in Jesus. But now let's go back to the first part of that verse I said we would. That all this would be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Again, grace as the root motivation behind what God does towards us. His unmerited favor. This whole section, one good title, it would be the riches of His grace. It's in the next verse. When we began our study in Ephesians, I spoke from there. But it refers to it again here, and that just keeps popping up again. Just this whole awesome grace. God's love in action. His unmerited favor towards us. And that all of this would point to Him. It's to the praise of the glory of His grace. So we wind up once again at grace. I read a story. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, point being in this, there was a woman who wanted to assassinate Queen Elizabeth. And so she chose to dress up as a page, a servant in the Queen's court, and she managed to sneak in and actually get in the Queen's bedroom. And she hid herself in there with the goal that when the Queen went to bed that night, this woman was going to come out and assassinate the Queen. Well, what this woman didn't take into account was the Queen's servants never let her go to her bedroom until every night they searched the room meticulously. And sure enough, they found this woman hiding among the gowns, hidden back there in one of the closets. Well, they drug her out, took the knife away from her, and there she stands before the Queen. And she has no way of denying it. They just took the knife away. They found her hidden. She's caught, red-handed. So she chose to fall on the floor before the Queen and said, "Grace, please ask Queen Elizabeth, would you please give me grace? Woman to woman here, would you give me grace?" And the Queen said, "Well, if I show you grace, how will I know you won't try this again?" To which the woman said, "If it has conditions, it's not grace. You have to forgive unconditionally for it to be grace." And the Queen got it. And she said, "Okay, I show you grace. I'm going to let you go." And history says that that woman went on to be the most devoted servant the Queen ever had. Because grace will do that. And grace does that in our lives. There's that old argument, don't show people too much grace. They're going to like totally get off. They'll get into sin and everything. No, if you really get grace, it does just the opposite. It will motivate you to serve the Lord with all the right motives. Not to earn a thing, but in thankful love back to Him. Oh, that we would comprehend more and more what it means that it's declared to be all of grace. God's grace, rich in grace. How settled is our destiny? Think about it. Because it's rooted in Him, His grace, His love, His decisions. How sure are our spiritual blessings? What love this should all provoke in all of us. Again, not to earn, because we can't, but to proclaim everything that it would be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Well, last week I said to start a list. The first thing on our list I suggested would be something like this. To start your list by saying, in Jesus, because that's the qualifier. You must be in Jesus. But if you are, the first thing we saw, verse 3, was in Jesus we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Spoke about that last week. But now let's make sure we add to our list today's point. The next thing, in Jesus, we are chosen by God, who knows us, in spite of us, chooses us. And it's a choice He made before the foundations of the world. Chosen by God. Now we're just now listing this. Hopefully you listed along the way and have some notes underneath each point, but at least we have this for us to write down if you choose to. The next thing we learned this morning from the next verse was what? In Jesus, we are adopted by God. That means we're placed in the position of joint heirs with Christ. The position of a dear son or daughter in a family where the father says, "No, you're not my slave. Come on, you're mine. And what's mine is yours." And what we saw lastly this morning was in Jesus, we are accepted in the blood. Oh, how is it that the unacceptable has been accepted? What an awesome, awesome truth. Now, considering these truths, of which we have a lot more to cover in weeks ahead, Lord willing, but how might these help us in all we go through? Now, that's, again, just to be considered, for us to think about, and to go out and apply. How might it help us in the storms, in the challenges, when the bad health news comes, when we're fired from the job, whatever might come along. There's so many storms, so many trials, but think about the overriding truth that these point to us to, that in the middle of that, I can know something. I'm not forsaken. I'm chosen. I might feel like I'm forsaken, but I'm not. I might look at the world and say, Hey, the Lord said, I love you. I've chosen you. You're going to spend eternity with me. I know there's some rough stuff, but bring this to bear on it. And you know what? I've adopted you, meaning, and I've placed you as a joint heir. What's mine is yours. And you ain't seen nothing yet. And he says, and remember, it's not about being good enough. It's not about your failures, your sin, your struggle. You're accepted. Lord, how could you do that? In Jesus. Oh, when we first accept Jesus, we don't even begin to know what we get. We're just being born spiritually. It's all to be spiritually discerned. But man, what good stuff as we learn about it. How rich are we? How rich does all this make us in terms of what we really need? Totally rich. More than enough in Him. But notice something real quick here in these verses. Verse 4. Just as He chose us, how? In Him, in Jesus. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons, how? By Jesus. Verse 6. By which He made us accepted, how? In Jesus. In Jesus. By Jesus. In Jesus. I think that that's a good, important focus for a moment. For I want to ask you something. Since this all revolves around Jesus, are you in Jesus? If not, you better get there real quick. And God wants to give that opportunity. In just a moment, we're going to wrap up our time and spend some time worshiping. There'll be prayer partners in the corner. If you haven't ever personally received Christ as Savior, go to a prayer partner and say, I want to receive that work of the cross. I'm a sinner that needs forgiveness. Go, and at least if you have questions, go and ask them. Start there. But get this issue settled. It all revolves around Jesus. Are you in Jesus? If your answer is yes, then notice the purpose. Remember, the results of all this. Verse 4, what? That we should be holy and without blame before Him. Positionally set in such an awesome place. What's the result? What do we learn? What's the purpose of all this? Why did He do it? Verse 5, according to the good pleasure of His will. That's why He's done it, because He just loves you. And verse 6, ultimately the result, that it be all to the praise of the glory of His grace. Let's let it have that response in us right now. Invite the worship team up. They give us an opportunity to respond and praise and worship all to the glory of His grace. Are you in Jesus? No? Receive and live is the call. Are you in Jesus and you have? Then praise Him, it says. Praise to the glory of His grace. Verses 4 through 6. If these truths were not in the Bible, who would dare to even hope it? If these truths weren't declared by God Himself, chosen, adopted, accepted, if He didn't declare these, who would even dare to believe it? But, believer, God has said, you are chosen. You are adopted. You are accepted by Him. We are His, and He is ours. True riches. True riches. Think of it. Chosen, adopted, accepted by God. That's true riches. Now, let's praise Him and the glory of His grace. Heavenly Father, I pray You speak to hearts even now. By Your Holy Spirit, apply these truths to areas of hurt or concern or confusion, and let there be that work that only You can, Lord. So, Lord, we're going to take some time now responding, soaking in it. Thank You that we can. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In this time, if you need a prayer partner, go see one. If you need some altar time to thank Him, to just anything that's gotten in the way, you lost sight of whatever, the altar's there for you. Nobody's going to bug you. But let's all of us respond now, all to the praise of His riches, His glory. Father, we lift these hearts, oh, these hearts of ours, Lord. We lift them to you. Lord, for those that are in need in the midst of struggle and just being tossed about, I pray that even now, Lord, you would bring to bear these truths, these awesome declarations, not just upon heads, but upon hearts, Lord. Speak again of what it means to be chosen and adopted and accepted by you. Minister to every heart that might have any issues going on right now, Lord. And thank you for this time we could respond and worship you. But Lord, in our very next breath, our prayer is, Lord, don't let us stop here. And thank you that it doesn't, Lord. As we head out, thank you for that fact that you're there and you continue to minister and you don't forsake, and indeed we are chosen. We can know that, but Lord, don't let it stop with us. Help us to stay rooted and grounded right there. Help us to soak in those truths. Lord, work that work in and through us that only you can. That work of your grace. So touch each one, Lord. And in the end, may it truly be all to the praise of the glory of your grace. May it all just exalt and give you honor. So Lord, we head out in you now. Thank you for settling these important truths. Thank you for the riches of your grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close this song together.